You are listening to The Tenants on the Kyle Dempster Studios Network. To support us, visit patreon.com/ Kyle Dempster Studios. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of The Tenants. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stark Realm. Hello, Stark.
Hey.
How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. We've got some exciting things to talk about this week. We are diving into the Witches Festival, as promised. We're going to talk about everything you need to know to get into this event, to play around with it. We finally got the news, and we're recording this on Sunday, October 14th. That means Thursday of this week, right? I think Thursday is the 18th.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so just this Thursday, four more days from now, and the event will be live. So that should be 10 a.m. Eastern time on October 18th. So while we're already into this, Stark, let me just like get to the end date too. You're gonna be doing
November 1st. There we go.
10 a.m. Yeah. EST. Easy enough to remember.
Basically, from Thursday to the end of the month.
Exciting! I really want to get into this and start messing around. Halloween is my favorite holiday, and we've already been goofing around with some of the furniture that Witch's Pack came out onto the store. There's also been some masks that have come to the Crown store as well. But now we're going to get into the full festivity of it. So do you want to just kind of give us a little bit of an overview, Stark? Like, what? This is not the first time we've done this event.
No, this is the third time the Witches Festival has come around. So the very short version is when the event drops, monsters throughout the game will drop items called Plunder Skulls. When bosses specifically. So anything with more than two dots next to the health bar. When you kill them, you get a Plunder Skull. And those Plunder Skulls are little purple rarity containers that you can crack open and have other goodies inside. These can be recipes, they can be style mats, they can be furniture designs. Actually, now they can also be furniture too, I believe.
Ooh.
And sometimes they'll contain other things, gold rarity stuff, like rune boxes that have new masks. And it'll be a mix of these things. It's not going to be one or two. It can be three or four. Yeah, you crack those open, and also there's a motif page coming back, or motif set coming back for the Holojack motif.
Ooh.
which is also Halloween themed.
So we got a lot now.
Yeah, there's a lot in there.
Can I head this off for a second and say something that we didn't even really put into our show notes this week? The holiday achievement vendor, that's your chance to unlock those things as well. So by completing some achievements, you should be able to buy those things. Like, I think it's like a witch's head in a basket or some other stuff like that.
Yeah, there's
basket maybe.
The ones I can remember offhand, there's a cursed totem, which has like a skull mounted on this sort of little totem thing going on. You can get the witch's remains, which is I think it's actually a Hagraven head that's been severed.
Yeah.
And I think you can get a basket of Plunder Skulls.
Oh, okay. That's what that is. So yeah, that's something we didn't. Guys, look at Stark. He knows all the things, even though I didn't prep him that I was going to do that. But I'm excited because those are things I've been looking at and saying, like, gimme. But knowing that they're, you know, a couple months off at the time. So I'm excited to do that now. And so let's take this guy from the top. You gave a really good overview there. So first off, taking it straight from the Become a Monster and Earn Unique Rewards during the Witches Festival news article that Zoss put out. We are... Whenever you get into this for the first time, so if you've already done some of this in the past, you're like a step ahead. But if you are just getting into the Witches Festival this year, you are going to want to navigate to the Crown Store and pick up the Crow Collar item that's there. Do you know what that item really is, Stark?
Yeah, it's a consumable that will start a quest.
Okay, so it's just basically like any of the other ones we've gotten?
Yeah, any other quest starting item. It's the same. And I think it's been changed so that it stays in your inventory when you're done if you really do want to just collect them.
Oh.
I believe the first year they were consumed.
Interesting. Okay. So it's just an item that starts a quest, that's all. So it says also here that if you've completed the quest in previous events... Oh, I'm sorry. Nope, I'm skipping ahead. So then you're going to complete the quest. This is so that's going to trigger... Hold on. So picking up the Crow Collar item from the Crown Store is going to trigger the Witch Mother's Bargain quest, which will give you the memento, the Witch Mother's Whistle.
Yep.
Whew, I feel like I'm lost already.
Okay, so it's really simple. It's you get an item from the Crown Store, or you can actually go pick up the quest in person, I believe. Yeah. And that quest will give you a memento when you complete it. So this is like a lot of quests that give you a memento. You go out, you do a thing, and then here's this item that gets added to your collection. The memento is, like all other mementos, account wide, meaning once you've earned it on one character, any of your characters can use it. Now, starting on the 18th and then running through the 1st, that memento will allow you to get a buff, which will give you double XP and make you look like a skeleton for 2 hours.
Ooh.
If you already have it, it will simply come online and work at that point. Like right now, if you have it, you can summon the cauldron of skulls and whatever else and take a swig from it, and it does nothing. That's the way it is for most of the year. During the event, your cauldron will actually turn you into a skeleton and give you the XP buff. So once that goes live, if you don't have it already, you can run the quest, and that'll give you the memento, and you can summon this whenever you want. Outside of Cyrodiil, I should say, because PvP zones specifically block mementos. And if you don't already have it, you can go do the quest, you can get it. If you already have it, you don't have to run the quest again. You don't have to run the quest on a new character if you don't want to.
So that makes sense. You know, you're starting the quest, but only if you haven't already gotten the Witch Mother's memento. So, good. Now, that Witch Mother's cauldron... It grants you and your party 2-hour 100% XP buff that stacks with all other XP buffs.
Yeah, so...
That's
this
crazy.
This is the first time you're running into this, isn't it? When the events occur, they will give you a... There's a specific one for... the memento will give you a double XP... It stacks on top of any other XP modifier you're receiving. So if you've got training gear, if you've got scrolls going, if you've got Psijic Ambrosia going, it will double on top of that. So I think they add together. I don't think it's multiplicative on themselves, but yeah, it's a lot of extra XP. So if you're going around and doing stuff, which you'll want to be doing, it will increase your payouts on that.
Yeah, Stark, don't forget, I'm a derp. I think I've only been around for like PvP events, right? Like,
yeah, the PvP event had something similar. Yeah, Midyear Mayhem had the same thing going for it, but it's a little bit different because, like I said, mementos are locked out in Cyrodiil, so they actually give you an item that lets you do it for that.
Oh.
So yeah, it's a little different. And then I stopped and I thought about it and everything. Okay, yeah, because there's a couple of events throughout the year that do this specifically, and they have their own mementos associated. The anniversary event, which just keeps adding additional ones. I believe the Jester's Festival has memento, though I can't remember what it is right now. And the New Life Festival has a Mead that will double your XP gains. That's another one that was changed because originally it was you would actually use it straight from the keg. You couldn't take it with you. And then last year they changed it so you could actually get the memento and just take that around with you. So that's the basic rundown on how that works. The one thing that I think was changed last year with Witch Mother's Festival is the skeleton transform and the XP buff for the first year were tied together. If you had one, if you wanted the doubled XP, you had to look like a skeleton. I believe that was changed to two separate buffs with last year. So when you go in your character sheet and you scroll down to where all your buffs are, if you want to remove the transform without giving up the XP, you right click on the transform to cancel it.
Oh, okay. So you can actually take yourself out of it.
Yeah, so you can go back to looking normal and still get the doubled XP, I think.
Total opinion question for you. Mm-hmm. Is this a better time, in your mind, to level up an alt during one of these events? Or is it better if you're someone that wants to just gain more CP?
Yes. Yes on both.
Yes on both. Okay.
Yeah. So. It's a good time. If you're wanting to go through and play content and you want extra XP for what you're doing, this is a good time to do it.
And this year's going to have you doing a lot, too.
Yeah. If you're wanting to grind an alt, like if you just want to just go out there and grind an alt, this would be the time. Mm. But even if you're just playing content normally, it's good.
Okay. I'm excited because I need some more CP. So that'll be good timing for this. I'm excited for that. Yeah, that's the first time I'll really get to take advantage of that 100% XP from an event buff. So like you said, the cauldron will turn you into the undead, but you don't need to stay there. You can actually get rid of it. No, you do not. Okay. You do not have to use the, wait. So no, you do not have to use the cauldron in order to gain the XP buff. What does that mean?
That means that when you summon the cauldron, you get the XP buff. Then when you use the cauldron, it changes you visually. That was the change from last year. I was trying to remember how they did that specifically. And I'm like, okay.
I think I put that in the show notes. I'm a real derp today, but I'm just so excited.
No, you got it. It's cool.
So, okay, you don't need to. You can just summon your cauldron.
Yep.
So if you click on someone else's cauldron, I wonder then, do you get...
Used to be that when you interact with someone else's, you get the XP buff and the transform. I think you get both together if you use somebody else's, but we'd have to test that to be absolutely sure. So don't take that as gospel truth. It is easy enough to get the cauldron for yourself, so...
Never take anything I say as gospel truth. Take Stark's. You can take most of Stark's, but never take mine. Okay, that's good to know, and that's something good to test. Basically, it seems like it's easy enough to go ahead and get your own cauldron. Anyway, though, it's kind of the expected.
Yeah, the quest takes about 10 to 15 minutes, realistically. So it's not this huge endeavor that's going to chew up your entire day. It's quick. It's painless. It's got some fun dialogue, so I would encourage actually listening to it. It's good for the season, but yeah, you don't have to worry about chewing up a lot of time or it being a very difficult task.
I'm so excited. I'm beyond excited. Okay, so let's take a quick look. We picked out some goodies here that you can kind of keep your eyes on or might want to be working towards this year. First of all, we're looking at a new memento. This is different than the one mentioned above. This is the Apple Bobbing Cauldron memento. To get this, you're going to be combining 7 pieces to receive a rune box that contains this unique holiday theme memento. So back to that. It's become the tradition, 7 piece sets, just like the Ginger Kitty and all the other things in between. And I think even the Swamp Jelly right now.
Yeah, the Swamp Jelly is 7 pieces.
We haven't really talked about the pre-quest for Merkmire at all, I really.
No, we haven't.
Well, that's out now. So you can go around.
You can do it. Yeah. It's got cool dailies.
Yeah. But there you go. There's another set where you're collecting something daily. So in this one, these rune box, or these pieces for the rune box, that's what's going to come out of the plundered skulls. Is that right, Stark?
I believe so.
Okay, so we'll get to plundered skulls in a second because there's a full detail thing.
Yeah.
You can also get rune boxes containing one of the masks. There's a pumpkin specter, the scarecrow specter, the hollowjack specter, and the thicket man specter. Are these like the same things as the kind of polymorphs that are already in the crown store?
Just the head.
Okay.
So it is the same basically, but it is just the head. So like the pumpkin specter mask is only a pumpkin head that you wear, with, I think it's got a hood on it, but that you wear over your head. Or the hollowjack is the same. It's also a pumpkin head, but it's got a glowing smile going on. So it's got a jack-o'-lantern thing going on.
I think I like these better. I just don't like that you can't customize polymorph. So I like that there's the option for both.
These can be dyed.
Ooh, okay. I like that. That's cool. Okay. So there's some good ones to look forward to. I can picture the pumpkin. I can picture the scarecrow. I'm not sure I'm really familiar with the hollowjack or the thicket man face, but that just gives me something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Also, new motif alert, the Dramora motif is coming, along with the return of the Hollowjack motif, which you can currently get in-game anyway if you're looking probably through guild traders and vendors. I know some people have actually been very nice and sent me pieces of it in the past, so I was just like, whatever, I guess I'm already a little bit ahead.
Yeah. Dramora motif has some special drop conditions we'll get to in a minute.
Ooh.
But the Hollowjack is just going to be dropped into the normal rune boxes and scattered.
Fun. And then also this, Stark was explaining this to me off air. Maybe you want to kind of give the same rundown here. I think this is the place to talk about it, but that you're going to get new recipes, ingredients, and furniture. I shouldn't say new. That's the wrong word. But
yeah, these are returning as far as I know.
Themed.
I think there are some new pieces of furniture mixed in, but I need to look at the list. And even then it's like, there's some stuff scattered through. One of the recipes is unusual. This is the Double Bloody Mara. It's a gold rarity recipe that you can produce. It requires Daedra hearts as one of the ingredients. So it's a little unusual because that's something usually used for making gear. And what this will do is it's a 2-hour duration. It boosts your max magicka and your max health, which isn't that unusual on its own, but it also reduces your current vampire stage by 1 as if you had just fed. So for vampires, that's actually kind of an unusual piece, and there are some very specific situations where you might want to have some of this stuff around in case you need to reduce your vampirism stage. I realize vampirism isn't something we've really talked about yet, so we'll have to get back to that on someday. But this is something that if you're a vampire and you know what I'm talking about with feeding, it's going to be a neat little get for you.
Yeah, I feel like someone sent me those before, and I didn't use them because I guess I didn't really know what their rarity was. And I guess if it's summertime and someone sends you to them, they're not available any other way, really. Buy them from the market.
Technically you get the recipe right now, so you can be crafted year-round. But yeah, If somebody was sending them to you, it's like, hey, okay, here, have a thing.
Cool. Well, now I understand their background and how to get them. So here becomes the little bit complicated part. So Stark, you can veer me onto whatever course you want. But skulls. The dropping of skulls is going to be the primary way that you get all the things that we've listed above. So skulls, should you take part in this year's festivities, they are going to drop from boss monsters. You'll get plundered skulls is the name. And in addition to regular plundered skulls dropping, there's also going to be new to this year's event, Dromora plundered skulls. Now, you get the skulls by killing arena bosses, dark anchors and geyser bosses, delve bosses, final dungeon bosses, public dungeon and quest bosses, final trial bosses, and world bosses. So seven different types of bosses will drop that. And in addition to dropping skulls, so here, point of clarity. So they're going to drop these skulls that we're going to find things in.
Yep.
Each of these things is tied. So let's look at the first one here. We got arena bosses. Zoss says that arena bosses drop the Dromora motif pages for bows and legs. Those will come within the skull, we think? Or is that
Yeah, they come within the... They're in the skull. So okay. You crack the skull open and then you get one of those two pages. So here's the thing. I haven't done a lot of testing with these. They were on the PTS back before Wolf Hunter came out. So I didn't get a lot of time to mess around with them. And I haven't tested each of the types yet. The one I have tested was the normal dungeon versions. Mm-hmm. So let's look at arena, because it's actually, there's a slight error here. It's the final arena boss, like the others. It's not all arena bosses.
Yeah.
In each of these cases where we're saying final bosses, we're talking about encounters or content where you'll have to go through and you'll have to fight a succession of bosses during the course of the content. So, for example, in a normal dungeon, you'll go through, you'll have to fight four or five bosses, and then you'll fight a final boss to finish the content. Only the last one will drop one of the Dromora plunder skulls. And it can only drop the two pages that are dictated for that type. There are some other drop sources that were listed in the PTS notes, and they didn't make it here. For example, some of the Imperial City public bosses, the sweepers, also are indicated as having specific plunder skulls associated, or Daedra plunder skulls associated with them. So we're not 100% sure which bosses will drop this in beyond this list. But in general, if you want this stuff, you're going to have to run specific types of content. So for the arena, for the arena Dromora plunder skulls, if you're looking for the bows and the legs, what you need to do is you need to either do Maelstrom Arena or Dragonstar Arena. Actually, by the time it'll drop during the middle of this, Black Rose Prison will also come out while this event is going on if you're on PT. So then that's also going to be available to get your Dromora plunder skull from completing that. But the short version of all of this is you're going to want to be doing a mix of different things to get all the Dromora plunder skulls and collect that motif, which is a change from last year and the first year with this, where a lot of people would just camp on dolmens or in delves and they would deal with those bosses repeatedly to earn up additional skulls, because that was just very efficient for general skull collection, but not particularly engaging. You sit there and it's been 2 hours and you're like, what is going on at this point? So this is actually a significant improvement. It gets people to go out and do other things instead of just doing one type of content repeatedly. If you have Clockwork City or Somerset, there are two very quick options for the trial bosses. The normal Asylum Sanctorum from Clockwork City or normal Cloudrest from Somerset will both give you very short dungeons you can knock out pretty quickly. If you don't have either of those, normal Aetherian Archive can be cleared pretty painlessly with a semi-competent. World bosses you can just find in zone. Public dungeon bosses, I'm guessing the public dungeon bosses are actually any of the public dungeon bosses in there. Which brings another mechanic here that we didn't cover at all. There is an internal cooldown timer on boss looting. So if you loot a boss, and this is just a base game mechanic. If you loot a boss, there's a timer. It's either 4 or 5 minutes. Or if you kill another boss within that time, you will not get any loot from them. You'll just get a small amount of gold. Oh. This does apply. It's specifically to prevent certain kinds of botting, where people are forcing bosses to respawn faster than intended. What ends up happening, though, is with it applies to this. And when you start burning through things, like you're burning through a bunch of dolmens in a row, you can actually start moving faster than that cooldown time. So it's, it's something to be aware of. But it will probably apply with public dungeon bosses here, too. So it's like, because that's one of the places where you can get into a bunch of bosses in very quick succession and actually exceed the timer. I'm not sure with public dungeon boss, though, whether that's going to be the Dromora skull will drop off of one of those, or if it's just a specific one like the group event.
So, yeah, this is going to be an open-ended kind of question. Do we know what the drop chance? I mean, we don't in the notes, but I mean, how... I'm wondering how many arena bosses, final arena bosses, we're downing to get the bows and the legs.
To get those two pieces?
Yeah.
I don't know with 100% certainty. When I was testing on the PTS, it looked like 100%.
Oh, wow.
Like, it looked like if you cracked a Dromora Plunder Skull, you were going to get one of the pages.
Wow. Okay.
With the limited testing I was able to do with dungeons, it looked like it would always be the same one for that instance, too. So, because we walked away with three copies of maces. So that's a little bit weird. That could have just been, because there's only two possibilities. We had three people. It's possible that was just RNG was weird with us.
Yeah.
It could be that it's an even split either way. Or it could be like there's some kind of locking mechanic where you get one specific one from each possible source. And you just need to explore around and try different stuff to get the other one. I don't know. And that's entirely a guess. But the base thing is, as far as I can tell, it's either 100% or we were extremely lucky.
That is very interesting. Now, this is another opinion question. I'm good at those. Do we want to be gathering motifs for resale at a later date? Is there value in that?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
It's going to depend on what you're looking at. And this goes into this huge thing about market value. If you're looking at something that anybody can get and they can get a lot of, so, for example, holojack motif, there's a lot of supply out there and there's not a lot of value in them. With the Dromora motif, because it's specifically tied to content that's going to be a little bit less trivial to simply grind indefinitely, yeah, there's going to be some value in that. Same thing is actually true with the with those rune boxes for the masks. They drop rarely enough that they do hold up some value between the event and next year. So, yeah, it's certainly worth grabbing that stuff and then holding onto it a little bit before you sell. It's also sometimes worth selling during the event simply because you can turn it into money right now.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask that because, I mean, assuming that the majority of our audience is newer players or people looking to up their game, you know, that's something that can be very helpful. If you're, you know, just a couple months into ESO or even newer than that, and you're saying, how can I get some money? Well, if you're running these events, which are going to just have plain old regular loot regardless that you can always, you know, break down or whatever, you're just trying to hang out with friends, something of that sort, you know, yeah, you could be gathering some of these materials. And also, changing gears for half a second, looking at the notes, I think they answered my question. So, let's look at these skulls again. In addition to regular plunder skulls from all the sources we mentioned during the event, you also get the brand new Dromora plunder skulls. These devilish new rewards will be the first plunder skull drop you receive for each type of boss each day.
Yeah.
So, then it goes on to say these Dromora Plunder Skulls contain all the same items found in the regular skulls, but is also guaranteed to have a new Dromora motif page based on the type of boss. So
there's your question. There's the answer to your question. It's not that it seemed like it was 100%. It actually is a 100% drop for the pages. And yeah, the golden Dromora, because they're gold rarity, the Dromora Plunder Skulls do seem to replace the purple, if I remember correctly. And they do have the base drop table in addition. So I think you can only get 7 of those per day per character. And you would have to run each of the content types to get those. That's the way it looks to me.
Now, are you saying, are you saying that the golden, the Dromora Plunder Skull, you get only 7 per day?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm reading.
Yeah, each of the types, because there's 7 distinct drop sources for these.
Yep.
There's actually a little bit of a question here because... And I suspect it's those 7. All of these have more than one drop source. So, for example, the Dark Anchor and the Geyser bosses drop one of these, the one with the daggers and the gloves. And I actually wonder whether it separates those out as separate types, or if it just goes, oh yeah, that's an incursion boss, and it doesn't matter which one you did first. Another example is the one that's public dungeons and quest bosses. Mm-hmm. And I realize the list you're looking at right now, because the final version published doesn't list everything. There were some other sources that were listed in the PTS notes. So if that's still current, there's some other sources for some of these, like the Imperial City bosses
right. That
wander around. And I'm not 100% sure whether it counts that along with the other type of drop. And it's like, okay, well, you can get two copies of this skull per day. But safe bet that it's probably you can only get seven per day.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. And that's my gut. And like Stark said, don't take this as the gospel. This is our speculation. Informed speculation, but speculation nonetheless. Now, you could theoretically... So, seven of these gold-quality Dromora ones that are going to guarantee you a Dromora motif page. But then you can get as many of the regular Plunder Skulls as your heart's content, basically. As many bosses as you take down, is as many skulls you're going to get.
Yeah.
So, and that will be getting you things like all the things we mentioned above. That pieces for the apple-bobbing... memento and all that other good stuff. So there's reasons to be out here doing craziness. I know that we're going to change gears in the guild here, and we're going to focus on running this. And it's good timing for us too, because we wanted to start doing trials anyway, or like seeing how viable it was within our group to do a trial. And since that's a required piece,
yeah. We want to get people in there for some of these. So, yeah.
This is good.
Yeah,
there are.
If you're starting out and you haven't done trials before, some of the Kraglorn stuff can be done pretty easily with a normal group. It's ideal if you can get your hands on a player who has experience with it and that they can help talk you through it, because trials do have mechanics that you really can't ignore even on normal. But yeah, those are actually very accessible for most players. If you're willing to go out of your comfort zone, and when somebody's like, yeah, we're looking for people for NAA in chat, or we're looking for people for something like NHRC in chat, feel free to jump in for that. The one thing you want to be very careful about with trials is, if you're not experienced with trials, if this is your introduction to the system, keep track of what the first letter in the abbreviation is. Because if it's N, then that's normal, and that's going to be very accessible. If the first letter is V, it's going to be an unpleasant day for you if this is your introduction to the 12-man content, because veteran trials will kill you and take your lunch.
I like how you said unpleasant day. That was a very nice way of putting that. Yeah. I think you should instill more fear in them.
Also be careful of the trial in... also be careful of the trial in Unvardenfell, Pulse of Fabrication. Even on normal, that thing can be pretty brutal.
Oh, that's a good tip. So yeah. My gut tells me to try Somerset, I think is one of the ones that you've
liked. Yeah, Cloud Rest is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think I might do Cloud Rest.
Yeah. And there's always people looking for groups for that. It's a really fun piece of content.
Good. Yeah, no, Stark, when we first got on Discord together, he said, this is what you wanted to do. This is the one that's going to take you all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's true, because I was talking about this on stream the other day. I get very easily like into one mode. Like right now we've been farming the Somerset daily world boss kills. And it has been so lucrative, because if you guys don't know, Kulanda Lacquer on PC North America is selling for 5K a pop right now. So those 3 weeks of Kulanda Lacquer farming are making bank.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, for 3 weeks, every time I log into Twitch and get on the game, we've been farming world bosses. So this is a nice way to kind of say, okay, you're still working towards a cause together as a big group, but now you're actually out there doing different things. So this is a nice welcome change in my book.
Yeah. Okay. So here's something you're going to enjoy.
Yes.
There's a house.
What?
So the Exercise Witch's Cottage, I believe that's the name of it, is seasonal. It shows up for this event, and it shows up in the Crown Store also. You can get it with in-game gold if you have the achievement. So this works kind of like most of the base game houses, where you can either complete some achievements and get it, or you can buy it with crowns. You can even buy it partially furnished with crowns, I think.
Oh.
I can't test that on my live account because I already own it. So, I want to say it's $250,000 to simply straight up buy it, but it could actually be cheaper.
$250,000, huh? I'm wondering if that sounds kind of familiar. I thought it was a little bit cheaper, but I could look here in a second.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, you go ahead. So, let me see.
Yeah, the achievement for this you're looking for is called an Unsparing Harvest. And that requires you to complete 4 separate achievements that are associated with the event. Happy Work for Hollowjack requires you collect all 14 pages of the Hollowjack motif and feed them to your character. Plunder Skull Enthusiast requires you to harvest 100 Plunder Skulls. I don't know if that counts the Dromora Plunder Skulls. It might only count the Purple Rarity Plunder Skulls that you get normally. This is something that's never been an issue before, because before this, there were no Gold Rarity Dromora Plunder Skulls. You need the Pumpkin Pear as well with Guts achievement. This is really easy. You get that from using the XP Doubler once. So summon the Cauldron and drink from it, and you'll get Pumpkin Pear as well with Guts. And then it also requires Reaper's Harvest, which is an achievement you get for finishing that introductory quest you get from the Crow Caller. So when you combine these 4 together, you get an Unsparing Harvest, which will give you the title Sun's Dusk Reaper, which is pretty snazzy on its own right, and it will allow you to purchase the house with gold.
Ooh, yes. So you are right. It's 250,000 gold, so quarter of a mil. It goes for 3,500 crowns unfurnished and 4,400 furnished. Yeah. So
it's a, if I remember correctly, it's a medium-sized house, so it only has, I think, 200 to 400 inventory slots. Confirmed. Basic.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a nice house to be able to grab at that price range if you want some kind of weird little place to get away in the middle of the Glenumbra Moor.
And you have this place, right, Stark?
I've been to your
thing. Yeah, yes, I have.
Okay,
been.
Cool.
It's a very nice little house. Yeah, like Stark said, if you want, I mean, it's got a creepy theme to it. I wish we had larger versions of this kind of creepy theme. It's just, it's got the fog that rolls in and all kinds of stuff like that. So if you're looking to make a Halloween house, I know it's kind of hard to do that this late in the game anyway. You know, you probably want to be prepping for it for a while, but this is a good one to pick up. Also keep in mind that there are, ooh, I used to know this date off the top of my head, but I think also this on the 18th we're getting the new furnishing items coming to the store. There's going to be the Crown Store pack that has a target dummy in it. I think it's the Crow Raveny guy. You know the name for that, don't you? I don't know.
The Wraith of Crows is coming back.
Is that the name for it?
That's the name of it.
Well, it's a Wraith of Crow dude. So basically target dummy that has wings. I don't know what he is.
Yeah, he's a Wraith of Crows.
He's badass looking, and you should totally buy this pack if you want it. It's got some really cool stuff, including a grave with like a hand that moves and comes out of it, and some cool necromancer looking jars with floating body parts, as well as some other cool items. So there's going to be options to decorate and enjoy the holiday.
Yeah.
Does that kind of summarize the Witches Festival, Stark?
I think that gets all the points, all the major points anyway.
So yeah, go out there. I'll put it in the show notes below, but check that list of things that you're going to want to do, all 7 of those, from arena bosses to trial bosses to everything in between. Check that list, reference it, make sure you know what you're working towards. Otherwise, these 2 weeks? I think it's just 2 weeks, huh?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. These 2 weeks could go by rather quickly, so you just want to make sure that you're prioritizing what you actually want to do there. Make sure you get your achievements if you want to get the house. Make sure to check the holiday achievement vendor to see if there's anything you need to get there. Have a super fun Halloween. Now, that takes us into the next point that we have gotten dates. Stark flagged these for me. We have dates for upcoming celebrations. And I will list those off for you quickly here. So again, Witches Festival, the October 18th to November 1st. Then we have the Clockwork City Celebration taking place from November 14th to November 26th. Followed by the Undaunted Celebration, that is November 29th to January 5th. Wow.
Oops, that's December. That's December.
I was going to say...
Yeah, that's a typo. It's only 7 days.
Hey, that's why you come here, you guys.
If the Undaunted Celebration was for over a month, that would be amazing on so many levels.
I was like, that's really different. That
is different. Yeah, that's because I derped something up.
And then, so again, that is Undaunted is November 29th to December 5th, followed by the New Life Festival, December 13th to January 2nd. I feel like this is also important to call out that, surprise, Merkmeyer comes out October 22nd. So right in the middle of the Witches Festival. Again, that's actually maybe more reason to really prioritize your time, because there's going to be new content that you're going to want to be running. So yeah, make sure you're just taking a look at all your things and planning appropriately. So we also have a new mount that's been hotly demanded, I think. The Indrik mount. How long have people been cheering for this thing, Stark?
I think since the Somerset teaser video started popping up, so people were seeing the Indriks and going, yeah, we want that. Might have been when Somerset first hit the PTS, I'm not sure.
So this is way prior to my time in the game.
Oh yeah, no, this has been going on for a little while.
They are really
Indriks,
cool.
Yeah, the Indriks were introduced with Somerset, so before that there wasn't a lot of call for them, but yeah, once people started seeing that these were a thing, and I was like, yeah, I want that as a mount.
And so, do you want to go through this? Because you did some complex... Stark did math, first of all. Let's clap. Stark did math and broke this down in a format that I think you are best to explain how you go about getting this Indrik.
Okay, because the Indrik summoning thing is going to be a little bit complicated. In general, we're looking at a mount that's going to work like most of the collectibles that will be added to your collection, and then you have it, except this one has an extra layer of stuff. So in order to get it, you need to combine four different feathers. These will become available during these upcoming events. And you purchase these from an NPC called the Impresario using event tickets. Now, if you've been looking in your currency tab in-game, you've probably already seen this. It's you're limited to carrying 12 at a time, and you can get these event tickets, but explain how, and it's actually not possible at the moment. Starting with the Witches Festival, we'll be able to earn tickets by doing various things. Witches Festival specifically will give us tickets for getting Dremora Plunder Skulls. Mm-hmm. So we already went through that and all the ways you get those. The first time you get one each day on your account. So you can get more Dremora Plunder Skulls from the same source if you log to a different character, but you can't get more event tickets by logging character.
Ah.
Once you have 10 tickets, you go to the Impresario and you can buy a feather. The four different feathers are unique. They're each different feathers, and you need one of each to actually summon them out. The second feather will become available during the Clockwork City Festival, third one during the Undaunted Celebration, fourth one. So you can actually summon it during New Life. Additionally, Clockwork City is going to be a little bit different in that it's going to give you two event tickets each time you complete a daily in Clockwork City for the first time. So the same idea, you can get multiple tickets, but you can only get them once per day per account. The Undaunted Celebration, this is another one you haven't actually come across yet. So mm-hmm. I think you've experienced the DLC anniversaries before.
Only the Imperial City, really.
Okay, so yeah, what happens is quest rewards, specifically the repeating quests, their rewards are doubled, and some drop tables are doubled for the duration of the event. In the case of the Imperial City, that was stuff like the skins.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The skin, the scamp pet, stuff like that. Also, I was never sure if it was working right, but the Telvar drop rate was supposed to be doubled. So yeah. With Clockwork City, it's basically the same concept. Each of the dailies will give you a normal cask like you're used to. Like there's all these container caches that you can crack open. During the event, that'll give you two. So you get two caches to crack open. It doubles your quest rewards, basically, for your dailies. And the first time you complete one of these, that'll give you two tickets instead of one. And you can do that for each day of the event. And the Clockwork City event is supposed to go for 12 days. Undaunted Celebration is the first time you do your random dungeon. You get three tickets.
Hmm.
So when you're running the Undaunted Celebration, the entire point of it is your daily randoms.
Yep.
The entire goal is to get as many people into dungeons, running them as possible. So you're going to want to jump from character to character doing your dailies. But the first time you do that, you get three tickets. Each other character in your count, you don't get extra tickets, but you know, you still get the rewards associated with that. Because if the Undaunted Celebration works the same way this year as it did last year, you're going to get container cash at the end, which is going to have some really neat goodies in there. Some of that stuff's crown exclusive, and sometimes it'll give you lockpick. It likes to troll us. But it is like on the other side of it, you can actually get some really neat costumes and other really neat little goodies out of this. That's where that Imperial horse and Imperial dog originally came from.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Those came out of last year's Undaunted Celebration. Neat. So yeah, there's some neat stuff in there. There's some stuff you're not going to be as thrilled with. It really is random. But yeah, so just run your random normal dailies, sort of dungeons. And there's actually a reason to do that in general, because it is a good way to learn the game.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do in general. But and then the final one's New Life. And this is one I know you do not know what I'm about to say at all. So the way New Life Festival works is there are 9 dailies associated with the event. They're unique to New Life. And outside of New Life Festival, you can't do any of them. The first time you complete any of those dailies on your account anywhere, you will get a single event ticket. And then New Life will go for 21. So by the time New Life rolls around, if you were saving up from the Undaunted celebration, you might be able to actually buy the fourth ticket and have your Indrik ready, basically at the beginning of the event.
Ooh.
If you weren't saving quite as much, or you were being a little bit more careful moving stuff around, you might have to wait a couple of days, or it might take a while before you can actually get that fourth feather. Another really nice thing is once a feather unlocks with a given event, it's going to stay available in the future. So if you're listening to this 2 months from now and the Undaunted celebration is running through and you've still got time to get 40 tickets before the year's out, you're still going to be able to complete the Indrik.
That's great.
You'll still have the opportunity to. And I suspect, though they haven't said specifically, those tickets will still be available next year during events throughout the year, because that leads into the other thing that they've done. So there's actually 5 different versions of the Indrik mount.
Whoa.
There's the base version that we'll be getting here, and then there are 4 upgraded versions. These are just cosmetic changes. I think they've been data mined. I don't remember. I think they made that into the article, too, that they've got different visuals. They look really cool. So what you do is you take your basic version, and you get a berry. You get specific berries for it. Again, there's 4 berries. These cost 10 tickets each as well. Oh. And when you feed your Indrik the berries, I'm not sure exactly how that works, your Indrik will change from the base version to that version, that upgraded version. At that point, you can start collecting feathers again.
I like that. From a purely aesthetic standpoint, It feels in any game like this, you just run the risk that whenever there's a special event that happens, everyone rushes and gets the cool new thing. And then that means that everyone's on the cool new thing. So basically, I've been pining for the zombie horse, right? All up until now. And then it's like everyone's on a zombie horse. And I know that will die down again. Or right now, everyone's on their Sigic pony. So like the Sigic pony is not unique by any means at the moment. It will be in, 6 months from now when people are tired and go back to the thing. But this is a cool way to add an amount right away and also have people continue working on it, but then have something unique to them. So basically, you're only going to see like a quarter as much as the same amount you have. Actually, a fifth as much of the same amount running around, which is really neat.
Yeah. And the extra layers of upgrades mean that you're not going to see it on everyone. You'll see it on everybody that's spends a lot of time with the game.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see it on everyone. There's also a little bit of a question. From what I understand, the feathers should be something you could be able to pick up on multiple characters. They cost the same. So I'm looking at I have the totals here, and I think you're probably looking at them as well.
Yeah.
For example, Witch's Festival will give you 15. That's only enough to buy one feather.
15 tickets.
Tickets. Yeah, tickets. So you can buy one feather from that. Clockwork City has 24. So if you were just to go through Clockwork City and you were doing a daily every day, but you didn't, you bought your first feather, the one you needed, you'd still run out of storage space.
Right.
I think it's possible to buy the feather on another character. So that you could actually, once the berries are out there, you could immediately summon another one or be very close to being able to summon another one to start working on that one. So that will take, if you want to go that extra mile, that should be doable, and it might take a little bit of planning on your part, but it would be one way where you can get the most value out of the tickets that are available. I'm saying this without having had the opportunity to test it, because the way the PTS was set up, we have not been able to go through the whole system and just rip it apart and experiment with it. But the suspicion is that we'll be able to buy additional feathers down the road. Otherwise, if we can't, then this creates a situation where you are really not penalized if the event comes up and you can't get online for a day or two. Because with the exception of Witch's Festival, all of these will give you at least twice what you need to get the feather from that event. And if you miss an event entirely, they'll give you enough tickets to catch up to somebody that didn't miss an event.
I think that's interesting. I think it is. First of all, I think it's a good idea to give a little catch-up area for people. I think they might. To me, it looks like a little bit of experimentation to see what sort of things work better. You know, with the whole summer fall event and some stuff like that. And you know, this is totally unrelated, but also partly related. I noticed a sharp decline of people being online as soon as they not summer fall actually surprisingly not related the 100,000 gold that was given out.
Oh, yeah.
Sharp decline. I'm talking like approximately 20-ish people less online in our guild every day, which makes sense. I get it. But it makes me wonder if that's kind of where they're saying like, is it good to try and run people straight for a solid month? Or do they need like a day off from the game here and there? And maybe we should give some catch-up room? Like,
I wonder if there was a little bit of burnout with that. I think, ironically, I think the best solution there might be the what they tried a couple of months back with the crown crates, where it was like it's an incentive to get people to stick around if they're already engaged. But if you're on the verge of burnout anyway, you're probably not going to stick around on the, oh, hey, here's another selection of random stuff. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I did see the behavior you're describing, too, where it was like once the 100,000 gold went out and then the population dropped sharply. And it's like, oh, that's interesting.
Because it was, I think, Summerfall ended on a Thursday. And I remember stream turnout Thursday was pretty average. Stream turnout on Friday, the night that you're actually getting your gold, was like through the roof. Saturday, it was like almost crickets. I was like, what? Yeah. Is everyone okay? And I was like, oh, it took me like 3 or 4 days. I'm like, Friday, money night. Yeah. Okay. Everyone's going to hold all their cash. They're already done.
Everybody got paid. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's good to give people some leeway just on a personal stance. Mm-hmm. I think it, you know, you just don't want to be like, oh no, a real life event came up. Now I can't get my cool fancy pony thing, you know, fancy Indrik. So I don't know. I like this. I think you're right. It's a very interesting concept of like, can you get two of this Indrik mount?
Yeah. Cause I think from the way items are handled in the game, I think it should be possible, but I'm not 100% certain that you should be able to pick up all four feathers a second time, probably with the next event in 2019 to actually be able to have your second Indrik ready to go. And they haven't detailed what the situation with the feathers is with the berries is. This is what I love about this. There are these three separate currencies and it's like, I'm going to mix them up at least once. They haven't detailed the berries release schedules. So it's like, I don't know exactly when we'll be getting those yet. But it should be possible to basically have an extra Indrik ready to go when the berries come out.
I gotta say, Stark, this game is a game that really genuinely keeps on giving in the best of ways. Like,
oh yeah,
I've said this to Stark a million times since I started ESO, but like it has been a whirlwind. From I got in right after Somerset, and then I don't know, we got hit with Midsummer Mayhem thingy and then Imperial City. And now, you know, there's been Wolf Hunter since and Merkmire's happening. And I've probably missed like two things. Witches Festival. Oh, my God. I'm in love. Yeah. But like, whew, you got to keep you guys on your toes.
Yeah. I think also something else that was, this is actually leading into Summerfall because this is a repeat from last year, sort of, except not really. Last year, they actually did a thing about the same time of year where there was a reward mount that was given out if you owned Morrowind, if you bought Morrowind as a separate purchase. And that was the Warflea, the Nyxox mount. You've probably seen that.
Yep.
And what I'm looking at this time around with the Summerfall event, I'm realizing, oh yeah, no, you guys were actually really encouraging people to log in for this, to have the content, not just to have the content, but actually to engage with the game and then go through and do stuff. And I know you were sort of chomping at the bit because you're like, I want something more like Witches Festival, even though you didn't know that you wanted something like Witches Festival, because you kept asking for something like, go let me kill Delve bosses and dungeon bosses and stuff like this for this. But yeah, this is like as a version of that giveaway to get the community to engage and forward. I think that was actually a pretty good thing overall. And that is a lot more keeping people on their toes than where we were last year. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, by the way, here. Have the Warflea. And it's like, okay, well, that's cool. Now I can use it to terrorize everyone in zone. It's great.
I would rather than, you know, do like try is basically what, you know, I'm in agreement. I wasn't like the Summerfall event. I can't shit on that too much because I mean, we got a freaking house and a mount and it was easy. All I wanted was like away from more veteran players. And I was only 3 month a veteran at the time, but like just a way for us to continue giving back in some other sense, other than just doing free taxi rides for people. But you're right. Yeah. And the reason I like this, and I know I'm just on my soapbox, but last night we had someone come into Twitch chat, and this is just a good thing to keep in mind for people that are new to the game. And they said, I have 15 characters on the server and I've never done anything but trials. And they were pretty serious about it. And I didn't say much on stream, but I was just in guild chat like a little bit ago talking. And I was like, man, that person's only seen like, I don't know, 10% of the game. Like I'm making that number up, but like, that's not it. Even that. Like you've seen this tiny fraction of this like beautifully created game, visually beautiful, storylines are great, like voice acted, wonderful social thing. And you've seen, okay, 5%? I don't know. I was being generous before.
Well, you're still being very generous. There are only 6 trials in the game.
And maybe the guy was being, you know, exaggerating, but he said he hadn't done any questing outside of trial content.
Oh, I believe it. There are people who, well, you should understand that you came from WoW. You should understand this. There are people who look at the game and see the trials as the only end game content. Mm-hmm. And they are used to looking at MMOs where the mantra is usually the game is not good until you get to
the end. Yeah.
So you end up with games. You end up with a lot of games where specifically the end game content is the featured content. This is the stuff you're going to be running. And that's where the developers focus a lot of effort. It's not true of ESO at all. It's one of the things I really love it for, because there have been extended periods of time where I haven't touched a trial for months at all. And there's still a ton of stuff to do. So I do really appreciate that about ESO. And it's legitimate. You see people, we cautioned this. I cautioned about this on this podcast several episodes ago, and we were talking about what do you do to level up. There are the people who go into Skyreach, which isn't a trial, but it's the same kind of idea. They go into Skyreach and then they grind there. Mm-hmm. They grind there because somebody 3 years ago sat down, did the math and realized, well, not 3 years ago. They did it when Tamriel dropped. So that was 2 years ago. They sat down, they crunched, they did the math and they went, okay, well, this is the single best location for XP payout in the game. I'm not sure if that's true. Like, I'm not sure if that's actually accurate, but that was what they came away with, and people followed them because it is still very good XP.
Right.
They would go in there. They would run the content repeatedly until their eyes bled. And they would come out and go, I am now ready.
You wait.
Because that's the part of the game that's fun, right?
Yeah.
It's all fun. There's a lot of really fun stuff, even by yourself, but if you're coming to it from this perspective from other MMOs, it's very easy to get into the idea that, oh yeah, trials are going to be where it's actually enjoyable, and then become blind to that. And like you said, they're experiencing a tiny fraction of the game if that's all they're doing.
And you know, Zoss, I'll yield to you and Stark's point that this idea of Summerfall worked. Because not only did, like you said, it got people to log in, but the house has now converted people. I had about 4, maybe 5 people in chat last night say, I never did housing before. Now I'm addicted. I used to have a couple million in my bank. I'm poor. Like we were going to start doing raffles in the guild soon to like start raising money for things. And we're going to have to we're having to adapt to the idea that people are poor now. Like literally people are poor. They're saying, I had millions. I have 20K right now to my name. I'm like, oh, okay. Clearly housing is new to you.
There's actually a problem with the housing system. It's not like, oh, hey, this is a horrible thing, but it is actually an issue. There are 5 free houses available in the game. You buy the game, and depending on which alliance you picked or whether you bought it with Somerset or with Morrowind, there are 5 different houses you can get for free. Mm-hmm. And without exception, they're all pretty underwhelming. Mostly on simply the housing limit. Also in the case, I don't know, have you ever seen the one in Velkilgard?
I don't think so.
The apartment of Volklagard?
Oh, yes, closet. I have. Oh, that is such a closet. Yes. that sucks.
They're very small, and like that one just that still boggles my mind. And I've actually seen it happen too. When Michi first got into housing, her first one was Volklagard. She stuck her head in and she's like, wow, no, not doing anything with this system.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah, you get introduced to what are probably the worst houses in the game for free. And there are so much better ones scattered throughout the game, throughout the environment that you can find later on down the road. And I do really like that they gave the Sijigrand, that we ended up with the Sijigrand Villa out there for free, because that's one of the best houses that's been put in the game. And it's just absolutely stunning. And you're getting a lot of people who are going, wow, this place is amazing.
You know, that's an interesting takeaway, Zoss. I don't know that you listen to this podcast, but hey, okay, we know that housing is a huge moneymaker, right? Like, that is crowns, baby. We're just rolling in them. You take mine every, like, 2 weeks, hundreds of dollars a crown. So, manpower-wise, we know this is in your better for you. Why don't you grow that vocal guard thing? Like, double its size. Like, seriously, something. Just push that wall back. Like, set Bob on it for, like, 3 hours, if that, and, like, just double the space. And because, really, that's a terrible... you're right. That's a really bad. I never even thought about it, because my first inn was mine was the one in Vivek City, which is not that underwhelming, honestly, for an apartment. It's a fine sized place. It's not great, but it's not nothing. And Somerset's pretty good too. The Breton one in Daggerfall's pretty okay as well. I mean, again, they're inns. They're just a small room that you're getting for free, but they're not awful. That one you mentioned would turn me.
Yeah.
I could sour me to housing if that's your first thing. So also take away, listeners, that housing is much better than the little inns. No matter what time you're listening to the show, housing is a great thing that has a lot of depth to it. But yeah, that's an interesting thought, Stark. I didn't think of that before. Well, I just know that, you know, the sentiment with the villa was very positive. People were very much fan of it. It was really good.
It's really wonderful.
Yeah.
Like this year has been great for housing overall, because we've had that. We had the colossal grotto. We've had the hunting grounds is already out. Like that's in the store right now. That's another one. Like I think we talked about that. I don't know if you said it on air, where something that the werewolf RPers have been asking for years.
Yeah.
They've just been begging for it basically since the game launched. Yeah.
Well, there you go, you guys. Keep in mind, some of these houses are available with gold. So if you're someone that's listening to this in the future and you miss the villa, that is not the end of the world. If you can't spend IRL money on it, that's okay. You can actually pick up some really good houses for pretty cheap prices. And I don't know, maybe I should throw this in the description below if I remember. But there's a whole grid. I use Faunter's ESO house price list. And that is an extremely detailed breakdown of every house in the game, currently on the market versus ones that have been taken off as well. And it breaks down what the unfurnished cost is in gold, crowns. It gives you a whole dollar to crown to in-game gold pricing thing. So there's a house for you. It's a fun thing. It's another, again, it's that debate. What is endgame? Is it trials? Yeah. Is it housing? Is it this? And it actually winds up being a really happy overlap of all of the above, where you can go put
fashion. fashion per second.
Yeah. See, you can be your most fashionable person in your most fashionable home, showing off all of your trophies that you've got from doing your end, quote unquote, endgame content, and, you know, with all your money. So there you go. It just do a smattering, just like the Witches Festival encourages.
Yep.
Stark, I think that's all I have for this week. Anything on your end?
That's where I'm at.
Cool. Well, I'm excited. Hey, I know I've been kind of pimping this out anyway, but if you guys are on PC North America and you want to join a guild, our guild is always open. We actually rebranded the name of it. Zoss was super nice and changed it in like less than an hour per my ticket. So the game, it was called Unlife before. Like, I tried to keep it a little bit lore friendly, but now it's just Kyle Dempster Studio. So it matches the channel and the brand in that way.
Nice.
We are messing around with the idea of doing a guild trader, Stark. A lot of people loved last week's episode of the show, by the way. I'd say we got the most positive feedback on the guild stuff.
Nice.
So, come join us if you want. It's guild.kyledemsterstudios.com. Come hang out. Look at all the things we're working on. We're doing the Sijig Villa right now. We just furnished it with all the basic crafting stations. Maybe a transmutation tonight. Maybe. Discords, discord.kyledempsterstudios.com, twitch.tv/kyledempsterstudios. You can hang out with Stark and I while I'm furnishing things and Stark is killing something. And I guess until next week, you guys, all the links in the description below. So go check that out if you need a link to anything we mentioned on this week's show. Stark, thank you again for your knowledge. And I will see you here next week to talk probably, honestly, about Merkmire. Yeah?
I know it's not going to be live by then. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, 22nd, right?
Yeah, 22nd.
So it'll be live a few days after.
Oh, it'll be live. Yeah, it'll be live the next day.
But so you're not.
Live when the thing goes.
The Witches Festival will be live. Merkmire will be 2 days out.
Very close.
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay, Stark, thank you. You guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Take care.